y'all will, let's go to Philippians chapter 3. I wanted to pick up something in this teaching of laying some groundwork about what Paul was talking to the congregation there. And then we're going to go back to Kings. So I wrote the scriptures here where we're going to be going in just a moment for our text. And then I think I have, maybe Tammy's going to read that one. And what different ones have spoken here today of how, I mean, it's just really, again, humbling to know that whenever you study and you dig in the Word and you know, Father, and you're praying and you're just asking for direction. What does the people need? What does we here at River of Life need? Because we're on a journey and we're growing together and we're ministering, and it is about being able to watch each other's backs and do we have each other's backs and all these kind of things. We've done that. We're doing that. Tomorrow we'll be, a handful of us will be helping Terry and Sandra move. You know, there's still work to be done at Dodia's. That'll be going on in Rick and Vicky's house and building and, you know, stuff like that. Different people's giving their portion in. And then there's times when a handful, and then there's when a whole dump truck full of people show up, you know, and it just comes back and forth. But it's really amazing. Like when Sherry moved from, you know, on the coast up here, you know, an army showed up. I don't see that in a lot of communities. And it's really awesome whenever people will put their backs and their wallets and boots and everything and help. Yeah, the backs, that's right. Half a back, whatever we can get. Amen. Some of us got a half a back. But, and it's getting better and better. Amen. But, Don did say something, and since you said it, I want to capitalize on it. Guys, there's something more sure. The apostles, think about this. Peter, John, James, Andrew, all of these disciples that were apostles. They walked with Yeshua. They saw Yeshua. They ministered with him. They didn't understand a lot what was going on. He raised people from the dead. They were in awe just like everybody else. But yet Peter one day stands up and says, but you know what? We have a more sure word. And this word that we have, the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, not Matthew to Revelation, but from Genesis to Revelation, these scriptures is that this is Yeshua made flesh. This is Yeshua made flesh that dwells among us, and he has blessed us with this. This is the sure road. And you know what? They are ruts. If you travel something enough, there's a path and there's a beaten path. But you know what? There's a solid bottom to it. And you're not going to get stuck in it. If it rains, it may fill up with water, but it's got a solid bottom to it. But what do? Sometimes, just like he said, I want you to understand this. We're going to read of a prophet here who had a sure word, and he got a second word that cost him his life. You got to realize that a lot of times when the Father gives you a sure word, you need to act on it. But know this, my father-in-law taught me this. He drilled this into me. He said, you're going to get a word from the Father when you pray and you fast. Now, if you're praying and fasting and all of that, you're going to get a true word. If you're leaning to your own understanding, you're going to get many different words. But once you get a true word, 99% of the time, you don't like that word. Because it isn't really what you was praying and you was hoping that he was going to. You don't like that word. But then every time, you will always get a second word. There's always a, I don't care, when you get a word from him, there's always a second word about a week behind, 2 weeks behind. It's coming. And it really lines up more to what you was hoping. So it's like this, heads or tails. If it's not your way, it's 2 out of 3. Or it's 3 out of 5. Or you keep going until finally. And you know what? You keep doing that. Finally, the Father says, enough with this. He's going to let it fall your way. And the next thing you know, you're going to have a damaged truck. And that's the way it works. And in this case, with this man, he's going to lose his life. But before that, 3:1 says this, finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Master. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. Verse 2. Look out for the dogs. Now, I don't know what you're... This is the ESV. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. And look out for those who mutilate the flesh. Now, I want to stop right here. The first, because we've gone through the Galatians series, and you ought to know when it says those who mutilate the flesh, you know what they're saying. They're teaching that you're having salvation by status change. You got to become a Jew before, in other words, you got to go through circumcision. You got to have a status change before you can accept Yeshua. You got to convert to Judaism. If you ever notice, once you learn this principle and pattern, you see it through all of his letters. Because when he says mutilate the flesh and you start seeing that, you'll see what he's talking about. Or he brings up the word, the circumcision or whatever. The first thing he says, look out for the dogs. And I said, what in the world is he talking about? But Tammy, read Isaiah 56, 10, 11. You don't have to go there. Y'all can listen to it because y'all can write it down.
His watchmen are blind, all of them knowing nothing. All of them are mute dogs, unable to bark. Dreamers lying down who love to slumber. And the dogs are greedy, they are not satisfied. And they are shepherds who have no understanding. They have all turned to their own way, each one to his unjust gain, to the last one.
So who is he calling the dogs? Watchmen and shepherds. So he's talking about leaders. He's talking about people that have a voice into people's lives, but they're barking the wrong message. They're not barking the Torah. They've got their own howling that they're doing. Amen? This is what he's talking about. He's called them watchmen. He's called them shepherds. And here, this is the same thing. So Paul is not doing anything uncommon. He's doing exactly what Isaiah said. He says, look out for the dogs. Look out for the shepherds or the watchman who is bringing you a different gospel. That's what he's saying. The next thing he says, watch out for the evildoers. This is where I want Jody to read 2 Corinthians 11, 13, and 14.
For such people are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Messiah. And no wonder, for Satan himself disguises himself as an angel of light.
See there, guys? You're seeing here that we're talking false apostles, false prophets. You're seeing what you have is even Hasatan himself, even Satan himself, masquerades as an angel of light. We've talked about this many times before. You understand and can recognize evil. But sometimes, can we recognize what's pretty? Can we recognize when it's got bling bling on it? Can we recognize if it's something that we really want to do? Can we recognize that is a true word? We heard the word from here, vision, today, from a word that came from the Father, vision. The thing about it is the Father will give us visions in our personal life, but all of those visions will equal a vision of where he placed you. Because if you have too many, let me just put it this way. If this side over here has a vision to do one thing, this totally contrary to the vision of this size, what do you have? Division. And division is not good. Division is not good. It has to be a vision where people are working together, husbands, wives, children, family, working together in your... Because look, fathers are priests in their homes. The men are priests in their homes. And guess what? The ladies are priestess. You know what? There's authorities that work in home. And then from that, it comes into the community as a whole. And then we can produce something. What can we produce? Life. We produce the very life for the people at the gas pumps that we meet. For the people at the feed store that we meet. We can produce life for people that we meet out there because you got something to deposit in their life. And that is life eternal. Which is way better and more than just... I mean, because I can tell you, at 58 years old, when I watch goofiness on TV with all of the craziness that's going on the news channels, if I was at my age now, and I'd say, is this all life has to offer? Is arguments? It's got to be more than that. Amen? And the people out there know that there's got to be more than that. They just don't know where it's at. But guess what? When they run into you, they need to run into it. Yes. Amen? So now let's go to 1 Kings. While y'all go to 1 Kings, I do want to read Philippians 3:9. It says, because this is Paul, he was really talking about, even though he is a Pharisee of Pharisee, tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of Hebrews, circumcised on the 8th day, he talked about all of that was counted as loss. And he says, but I found in him not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, which means status change is what he was talking, but that which comes through faith in Messiah, the righteousness of Elohim that depends on faith. So I wanted to just finish out there with that scripture, because we can rest and be assured, again, for those who are new and those who are visiting, a lot of times we can answer the question, where do you go to church? Well, we go to this church right there on the corner. Okay. Y'all, that Jewish, newish, not really understandish what y'all doish. You know, whatever. So, church, okay? But what happens is you get the opportunity to be able to minister. And I really appreciated what Vicky said. And this is what we've been talking about. When someone comes to you and they ask the question, give them nuggets. Give them little bite sizes. People are not ready for steak. The scripture talks about that. Paul talks about it. The milk of the word. Sometimes you just have to give them the milk of the word. You got to give them some formula. This formula. Amen. And nurture them a little bit to get them to where at least they can get something that satisfies. Because, you know, usually when you get satisfied, you do get hungry again. Or I do. There's sometimes I can eat a meal and I can say, you know what, I'm full as a tick. We got all these sayings and I won't eat for a week. But when I wake up in the morning, I'm hungry again. I don't know how that is. I don't know how I can eat a half an acre of corn the night before and then be home hungry the next morning. But you know what? It's just in us. Amen. Spiritually, we're that way the same way. We get this word, but it's always there that we should hunger and thirst for this. Amen. Okay, so here we have the story, 1 Kings 13, verse 1. And behold, you got to get this, man of Elohim. That's Hebrew. Elohim is Hebrew for God. The man of God, the man of Elohim, came out of Judah. All right, we've been talking about Jeroboam. Jeroboam is the king of Israel. He's not the king of Judah. But the father, Yahweh, painting a picture, he has a prophet that's out of Judah, and he's given him a mandate, and he's given him a quest. You go to Israel, and you give them a word, and I'm going to perform something right then. This is not one of these, I'm going to give you a word, and it's going to happen 200 years from now. Even though in that word, there's something that happens many years later, but something happened in front of their very eyes and their very face. So here we see, behold, a man of Elohim came out of Judah by the word of Yahweh to Bethel. Bethel means the house of Yahweh, the house of Elohim. Jeroboam was standing by the altar to make offerings. Now we know that you have an altar. You make offerings for only one person, and that's to draw near to the Father. That's what this is about. So Jeroboam has built this altar, and he's making offerings on it. And this man was commissioned by Yahweh himself to go to that place. Verse 2. And the man, he arrives there, and the man cried out against the altar by the word of Yahweh and said, O altar, altar, thus saith Yahweh, behold, a son shall be born to the house of David, Josiah by name. Josiah, whenever he comes on the scene, is around 360 years later. And this is one of the few places that you will see in prophecy where the Father will actually give a name to someone this way in the future, other than Yeshua himself. You could go and see how eventually one day, 360 years later, he read about himself in the very prophecy. You don't think that's strange? To sit here and all of a sudden you're raised up and you see yourself 360 years before prophesied about? This is what this man of Elohim is saying. Josiah by name, and he shall sacrifice on you the priest of the high places who make offerings on you, and human bones shall be burned on you. Well, this ain't a good prophecy for him. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign that Yahweh has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be torn down, and the ashes that are on it shall be poured out. On the same day this is going to happen. Now, was Jeroboam excited? No. Jeroboam was mad. It says, when the king heard the saying of the man of Elohim, which he cried against the altar in Bethel, Jeroboam stretched out his hand from the altar, saying, seize him. And his hand, which he stretched out against him, dried up so that he could not draw it back to himself. So Jeroboam, at that moment, his hand and arm was frozen. Could not draw it back to himself. Dried up. Hope it wasn't the hand that he wrote with. Because this happened to him at that very moment. So think about this. When Yahweh gives you a mandate to go do, you don't have to worry about people coming against you. You go do what the Father commands you to do. He can take care of those who come against you if he has to drive the hand. But the thing about it is, I just want you to know that here is a king who's coming against the man of Elohim, and the Father says, I'll show you. And he dried up his hand and he froze it right in place. Y'all don't want me pointing? I just did it like this. Verse 5. The altar also was torn down, the ashes poured out on the altar according to the sign that the man of Elohim has given by the word of Yahweh. Now look what the king says. And the king says to the man of Yahweh, entreat now the favor of Yahweh, your Elohim, and pray for me that my hand may be restored to me. And the man of God, or the man of Elohim, entreated Yahweh, and the king's hand was restored to him and became as it was before. Now, I don't see anywhere in that scripture where Jeroboam repented for building that altar. He was worried about one thing. That hand. He was just worried about it. And he's saying, please fix my hand. Please entreat me and pray to the Father, fix my hand. Is that not the way sometimes we as people pray? In other words, should we may not examine ourselves to see if we need to repent? If we're fixed in a problem and we're dried up spiritually? Maybe there needs to be a repentance that needs to go on to see exactly why we're in that state of dryness. Rather than just saying, Father, give me a wet season in my life. Think about these little stories that we read. There's more to these stories than just stories. There's so much meat in here about the way the Father operates. And sometimes I'm afraid, and this is why he checked me last week, what you're going to do is, and he was right, you're just going to read through this to get to your other point. And he says, we're not doing this because this is so, so, so important that we don't just read through something. We need to stop and understand that, hey, maybe if we're going through a dry season in our life, we need to probably sit back and say, how did we get here? You know what I'm saying? So here we have this situation going on with Jeroboam. Verse 7. And the king says to the man of Elohim, come home with me and refresh yourself, and I will give you a reward. Now, he's thankful. And now I'm going to just take some leeway here. These are people, okay? These are people, like me and your people, okay? If I'm a king, and I just witness what happened, I need him in my fold. I need him. I need this prophet with me. Because this man is proven. I just saw the very altar that I built to worship Yahweh destroyed. And Yahweh did it. So I really goofed up there. And another thing, when I give an order to seize him, Yahweh froze my hand and I was frozen. And here this man prays for me and Yahweh listens to him and restored my hand. I need this preacher. Why don't you come on home with me? I'll set you up in a nice place in the kingdom, give you a nice bed and give you all the grapes and wine and all that. You see what I mean? You can see what he's doing. He's not looking at the very spiritual side of what's happening. He's treating this prophet like he's a magician. And there's another issue. Sometimes we in life treat situations like they're a magician. All right, verse 8. Then the man of Elohim said to the king, guys, you got to get this. Because now, you didn't hear this before because it wasn't said, but now this is very, very important. The man of Elohim said to the king, if you give me half your house, I will not go with you, and I will not eat your bread or drink your water because it has chlorine. No, he didn't say that. I am not going with you, not because I don't think your water's any good or your bread's any good. I'm sure you got fresh challah. But here's the deal. Verse 9 says this, for so it was commanded me. Who commanded him? Yahweh himself, by the word of Yahweh, saying, you shall not eat neither bread nor drink water, nor return by the way that you come. There was three things that he was given. Don't eat the man's bread, don't drink the man's water, and don't even go back the way you came. You go back another way. Don't go into covenant, table of covenant. So he's saying, do not entertain him, and even don't even go back the way you came, go a different way. All right, now, this is what he said to the king. So he went another way, and he did not return by the way that he came to Bethel. You know what? He went, he did a great job, he completed the job, and he moved on. You would hope the story didn't end there. But it doesn't end there. This is so important, the next verse. Now, and I put here comes trouble. Now, an old prophet lived in Bethel. And his sons came and told him all that the man of Elohim had done that day in Bethel. In other words, it wasn't just, this was Jeroboam, and this was all, there was a multitude of people that was around. Because the very sons of these old prophets, they were there to worship. They were there to bring their offerings to this altar. They saw what happened. They saw the mighty hand of Elohim and what he did to the altar, what he did to Jeroboam, and they're telling him what's happening. Because the old prophet, I don't know, it says old prophet, so maybe his scooter wasn't working. Maybe Myra needed to help him out a little bit, girl. But you know what I'm saying? He wasn't there. But yet they come and they talk to him. And told him all that happened. They also told to their father the words that he had spoken to the king. And their father said to them, which way did he go, George? Which way did he go? Said, which way did he go? See, a lot of you know that. I can tell by how old you are when you laughed about, which way did he go, George? Because that's an old cartoon. All the young ones, what's he saying? You see my glasses, you can tell. And he said this, and his son showed him the way that the man of Elohim who came from Judah had gone. And he said to his son, saddle up a donkey. He said, saddle up the donkey for me. And they saddled the donkey for him, and he mounted it. And I'm like, didn't you just hear what the sons told you? The man said, I can't eat, I can't drink, and I got to go a different way. Because they told him all that happened. So I know that they told him this. So what is he doing, this old prophet? Second word. A second word's coming. And he went after the man of Elohim, and he found him sitting under an oak. And he said to him, are you the man of Elohim who came from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said to him, come home with me and eat bread. And he says, I may not return with you or go in with you. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water with you in this place. That's the right answer. For it was said to me by Yahweh Elohim. Yahweh himself come to me, ministered to me as a prophet, and told me and gave me strict instructions of what to do. That's what he's saying here. For he said to me by the word, you shall neither eat bread nor drink water here, nor return by the way which you came. He's repeating exactly what he told the king. And he said to him, here's the problem. I also am a prophet as you are. And an angel spoke to me by the word of Yahweh, saying, bring him back with you into your house, that he may eat bread and drink water. What does it say next? But he lied to him. Now guys, this is where it gets sticky. This is where mayonnaise turns into peanut butter. I'm just saying, because here's a man who was a prophet. He saw the mighty hand of Elohim. He went to do what he was supposed to do, and he got out of Dodge like he was supposed to get out of Dodge. But yet, another man comes in and says, I'm a prophet as you are. That's why I had these scriptures for these ladies to read. Because guess what? He said, watch out for the old dogs. Watch out for the evildoers. Because now, you don't see here, you see that there's an old prophet. I'm believing because he said this is an old prophet. This other prophet was probably a lot younger than he was. And so naturally, if you see an older minister come up into you in your life, and you're a younger minister, I'm going to just tell you, this is a true story. It happened to me when I was working with the school. Like I said, when I was working with the school, and this is the way I believe, and I hope you believe the same way. When the school paid me starting at 7 o'clock in the morning, and when I got off at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I didn't preach. They don't pay me to preach. They pay me to work. They pay me to do air conditioning, refrigeration, and whatever else they ask me to do. They don't pay me to evangelize. They don't pay me to do that, okay? I don't do that because that's stealing their time. That's stealing their money. I can minister by the fruits that I bear. They can't stop that. And that's what I'm supposed to be doing to start with. And they're seeing that. But one day we was getting ready. Well, we're really over when we was getting ready to leave. And there was a pastor. And he was there and he drove a bus. And he asked me the question. He says, and there was another. Well, as a matter of fact, there was two pastors there. And a couple others. And that man sitting there, a lot older than me, probably about a good 20 years, 25 years. And he was saying, let me ask you something, son. He says, why you go to church on Saturday? Yeah, I said, you mean like Shabbat? Every day is a Sabbath. I said, okay. I said, is it Saturday or? Well, you know, the seventh day. I said, now we're getting somewhere. I said, the scripture tells us, I don't have the authority to change times and seasons in law. I don't have that authority. And I said, and he set it up from the beginning. I said, the Catholic Church didn't have the authority to change it from Shabbat, the seventh day, to the first day. They didn't have that authority to do so. So I'm explaining to him really easy why we do what we do. And he says, next. Well, I can see you're wet behind the ears. I can see you wet behind the ears, but one day you will learn the truth. I'm just saying. Man, I was fixing to burn an altar. but I didn't. I didn't. I just said, you know. But do you know what? It wasn't about him and his disrespect. Because when he left, it ministered to the other ones that were there. I can see now that truth don't need any defense. Amen. And somebody said that truth don't need defense, does it? I said, absolutely not. Truth stands for truth, regardless if I'm wet behind the ears or not. You know what I'm saying? But see, there was an older gentleman who'd been pastoring definitely longer than me, saw and said, you're wet behind the ears. The thing about it is I looked at this same situation that an old prophet shows up and says, son, I can see you're wet behind the ears. But the Lord came to me, Yahweh came to me by an angel and said, you need to come on back here and eat some bread. Now look, I'm sure he's sitting under an oak tree. The best he could get under the oak tree was acorns. You know what I'm saying? And he probably doesn't want a fresh diet of acorns. So, you know, having something to eat and drink from another minister, man, we're going to go, we may have church at your house tonight. We go over here and pray in the Holy Ghost. Ooh, shake a little bit. You know what I'm saying? We'll go have church. Man, I'm from Judah. You're over here. We can talk about how there was revival when King David was here. You know, and we could go and we can just talk and share and how, I don't know how this kingdom got split up. Solomon shouldn't have done this. They could have went over and, got by the campfire and done their thing. Don, he didn't go where the path was sure. He said, you know what? I'm hungry. And he listened to the second word. Now, what should he have done? This is what he should have done. Hold your thought. Went over here, built his little altar, and cried out to the Father. Now, you gave me this word. You gave me this word that I am to not eat, drink, go a different way. And I'm doing what you told me to do. And now, there's a different word. You didn't bring it to me. You brought it to somebody and sent them to me. Now I'm sort of confused. And so, what should I do? And I can tell you what I believe he would have done. He would have said, don't listen to the dog. He would have said, don't listen to the evildoer. Don't listen to the lying spirit. Familiar spirit. 1 John 4:1 says this, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are of Elohim. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. John didn't say that just to be saying it. He's saying it because it's always been that way. This is nothing new. So the young prophet should have got before his Elohim and prayed and said, look, you give me instructions and now I'm hearing these other instructions. What should I do? How many times have we been over here in these past few years and we've gone through these scriptures to where Joshua didn't ask about going into Ai because they were seen in the camp. He didn't know about it. How many times do we see where somebody will do something? I mean, think about it. You go into a town and exactly what you told them, this altar torn down, ashes, boom, hand dried up and undried up. Can we say that? And then you walk out and you're saying, you know what, bless God, that was nice. You know what I'm saying? That power of God was on me. You ought to seen what happened. I mean, think about it. This is a man. These things happened when this man went in there. And there was a lot of people there that witnessed the power of Yahweh working through that man. But the man forgot something. Yahweh was doing all the working. All he was doing was the going part. He was showing up and just saying, because he didn't do nothing to that altar. He didn't burn it. He didn't tear it down. He didn't lift his finger. He spoke. What did he speak? Yahweh's word. Yahweh's word, the power of his word, is what destroyed everything. That's about healing. When Yahweh gives you a promise, be healed in Yeshua's name. When somebody ministers to you and lay hands and say, be healed in Yeshua's name, that's the power of his word that says that. It's not just touching you or throwing pixie dust on somebody. It has nothing to do with it. It's the very word of Yahweh. When he says, go, when he says, people, if you need something, call the elders of the church and they will come and pray for you. And they will, if you need healing, you'll be healed. And if sins need to be forgiven, they will be forgiven. Has nothing to do with me. Had nothing to do with this prophet. Had nothing to do with the old prophet. The spoken word is powerful when it comes from him. So he goes back, verse 19. Okay, so he sent back and he ate bread and he drank water. Now this, if this don't get you goat, y'all pay attention on this one here. As they sat at the table, now he went back. He's drinking and he's eating bread. I'm talking about the young gun, the young prophet. He's doing this. As he sat at the table, the word of Yahweh came to the prophet who brought him back. Now the very prophet that lied to him, Now Yahweh spoke through him to speak something to the young gun. I said, I had to soak on that one a while. Epsom salt and all. And then he says, ain't no different than Balaam. And it ain't no different than his donkey. A word from him can come through anybody at any time in any given situation. Because, man, I was confused here. Here, an angel of the Lord, he says, come. And he was lying, knew he was lying. Come on back. And then all of a sudden, Yahweh himself does speak through him. Guys, that's why we got to know what thus saith the Father says from this word. Amen? There's a lot of watchmen out there saying a lot of things. Because I'm sitting here like, I mean, you could, Father, you could have used one of his sons, not him. But he did. He said, he said at the table, the word of Yahweh came to the prophet who had brought him back. And he says, and he cried out against the man of Elohim who come from Judah, saying, thus saith Yahweh, because you have disobeyed the word of Yahweh and have not kept the command which Yahweh your Elohim commanded you. I'm like, what? I mean, could you imagine sitting here? I mean, really. I'm sitting here. You just came to me saying you was an old prophet and you told me how Yahweh was good to you. And you said an angel told you, let's go back. And now we're eating. And the moment I eat and drink and recline, and then you're going to look at me square in the eyes. And now you're going to bring a curse to me for doing what you told me to do to start with. We need to continue on the path. And be watchful not to be sidetracked by Google, rabbis, or anything else. Amen? We got to be focused. Guys, let me just say this here too. Pray. Fast and pray. If you've got a word and you're walking in that vein and you get a second word, fast and pray. Don't just pray. Don't give him 3 minutes prayer and drink a glass of orange juice. Fast and pray. Guys, this is serious here. I mean, here you have a man, because why I think I wanted to capitalize on this, why the Father wanted me to do this, is this. It's like the very truth that's now coming out of his mouth was a lying spirit that got him there. That's what we're dealing with in society as a whole. Now, do you know why we have so many different denominations in the world? Is there lying out of every one of them? No. There's truth coming out of everybody's mouth, but there's lies too. You don't have to do this, or you don't have to do this. You don't have to go here. Every day's the Sabbath. We're all wet behind the ears. See, that's why I went, and she's thinking exactly right, because this is what we would do. He'll say, yeah, eat and drink with the king. Not that I can't maybe eat and drink in Bethel itself, but he said, don't even eat in this place. And he brought him back to the place. A second word, when you're hungry or something that you really want to do, and the Father gives you a word, I'm telling you, the majority of the time when you pray for a word on a situation, you ain't going to like that word. You're not going to understand it. You're going to say, man, it's going to achieve the same thing, but boy, you're making it hard. No, he's not making it hard on purpose. What he's doing is he's bringing you on a journey to make sure that when you get there, you will make the right decision and you won't fall into a trap, because the second word is coming. I'm telling you, the second word's coming. And usually that second word is where everything is easy. I don't know if this was good to y'all. This was good to me, because I learned a lot in this story. I've learned a lot, especially in the days that are ahead. Because when end times come and they unfold, I'm telling you, they're not like they're going to be in the books that you read in the Christian bookstore. You understand what I'm saying? It ain't going to be that way. He's going to reveal to his people as it unfolds, because it's just going to be like when the Holy Spirit fell. Peter says, oh, this is like it was prophesied by Joel. You see what I mean? And that's what you're going to see when things start happening, because you know the book, you know the prophets, and you know the book. Then you're going to say, oh, this is what was prophesied. Oh, you know what? I saw this story before. Where have we seen this story before? You know what I'm saying? Where have we seen this? When you get a word and all of a sudden you get a second word, guess what? You're going to say, where have I heard this story before? Oh, let me go to Kings. I think Pastor thought he was crazy that day. he was saying something. Let me go reread this story. Oh, you know what? He told us to be careful of a second word. We need to fast and pray. Verse 21 blew me away. He said, because you have disobeyed the word of Yahweh and have not kept the command of Yahweh your Elohim. This is what he says. But have come back and have eaten bread and drunk water in the place which he said to you, eat no bread, drink no water. Your body, look at the price he had to pay. Your body shall not come to the tomb of your fathers. And I don't know if you understand what that means, but that was a big deal back then. It was a big deal because you know what? When Jacob died, who was laid beside him? Leah was. Leah was laid there, not Rachel. Very, very important. When it says that they are not going to be able to be laid by their fathers, that was not good. And it says, and after he had eaten and he had drunk, he saddled a donkey for the prophet. Oh, that was sweet of you. You feed me, now you're going to send me off to get eaten by a lion. Saddled the donkey for the prophet that he had brought back. And as he went away, a lion met him on the road and he killed him. And his body was thrown by the road and the donkey stood beside it. And the lion also stood beside the body. I hate to end on a sad note. But we talked about this last week. Is Yahweh serious about his word? Yeah. He is. Is he serious about sin? He is. And the thing about it is he serious about going down the path that is proven? He is. Just like what he had said before, the path may look like you're going to get your truck muddy. It's better to get your truck muddy than to get it damaged by going another way and running up on a stump or something. In our life, we're going to get a little muddy. Stay on the path that's proven. And do you know what? You can get to a place in your life, if he has to roll back the Red Sea, he'll do it. Amen? It happened in the garden. Yahweh said, don't eat of that tree. And Hasatan said, you shall not surely die. Because in that day, you're going to be like him, knowing both good and evil. You'll be like the gods. See, that's a second word. What I'm saying is for a lot of you people in here, a lot of you people are making decisions. Some people, I'll just use Terry and Sandra. They've done two things. Number one, they prayed to see if they were going to come into this community. And I know Ted Myrna prayed, do we come in this community? It's a big thing to sell your house and move to a place where, you know what? Now, Terry and Sandra's been here, you know, in and out, and so they sort of knew how redneck we were more than Ted Myrna did, okay? Ted Myrna was strictly by faith, and they tested the waters a little bit. But all I wanted to say here is this, is that when people come and then all of a sudden, when you're building a house, buying a house, and all, these are big adventures or whatever you want to call it, projects or whatever in your life, when you had to, that's right, because like in your decisions, like when your mom was here, you had to make a decision to have a place for y'all. And now that she's gone, now you had to make a decision, what do we do next? That's important when you're making these big decisions. Prayer, land, all of that stuff. And it's amazing to me, when it's in his will, things move fast. Sometimes things go about 15 miles an hour. I wished I could tell you that it would go from 15 and it would go to 20 and 25. It don't do that. It goes from 15 to 90. Just the way it does, it goes there and then it just motors. And then you're like, and then you just go through and just say, oh, I'm crazy. I'm getting crazier. That's the way it goes in life. So pray and know before you make these moves, because the prayer and knowing that the Father has led you to do this is what's going to get you through the next move. Yes.
Okay. I believe that the old prophet had a motive, because in the word it says here, I'm just going to go on down to after the lion was killed and the old prophet was told. And he went down and got the young prophet and buried him in his tomb. Said 30. Then he laid the body in his own tomb. They mourned over him and said, alas, my brother. At 31, after burying him, he said to his sons, when I die, bury me in the grave where the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones. For the message he declared by the word of the Lord against the altar in Bethel and against all the shrines and the high places in the towns of Samaria will certainly come true. And when you go further, read further later on when you get into Josiah, it did come true.
That's right.
And they desecrated all the bones. But they did not desecrate the old prophet's bones because he laid next to the young prophet.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So he had given him the second word.
But I can tell you this. But at the resurrection, he's still going to be laying there. And listen, the young man's going to come up. I mean, he can make mistakes, but when you try to, if you try to manipulate Yahweh, thank you. You try to manipulate him, it don't work. Yes, they're going to hand you a mic.
Did not the scripture also say that though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you, that which we have already preached unto you, let him be accursed.
Amen. Amen.
That Paul included himself in that.
That's right.
He said, though we are an angel
come
down from heaven and preach anything else to you.
Amen.
For this foundation is already laid, amen, which is true foundation of the apostles and of the prophets.
Amen.
And of Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone.
That's right.
And other foundation can no man lay.
Amen.
And that which is already laid.
Amen. 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 That's right. Amen. And you know what? That is a true word. And I just wish that everybody would follow it. But they don't, because they get these different words. And the next thing you know, it's like what Jonah said. They start following another gospel. Paul mentioned it over and over and over again. Don't do it. Amen? All right, let's pray. Oh, Messiah.